Dear saints and the Lord, all saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, GCN viewers and all children of God who attend the worship online, this is 77th lecture on Genesis. Last time we explained about the curses that Adam, Eve, and the serpent received. Since the serpent lost its legs and had to go up on its belly, among all animals it fell to the lowest. All animals have legs except the snakes. Snakes move on their bellies, so how inconvenient must that be for them? They can't walk, run, or fly. The statement that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent had significant spiritual implications. The message of the cross explains that the way of the salvation that was hidden by God for age is only through Jesus Christ. From the very beginning of human cultivation, God the Father gave a hope to every human being. God had also shined His light into the darkness at every critical moment in the history of the 6,000-year-long period of human cultivation. God revealed His will through the prophets who sought after the heart of God, and He has fulfilled it when it was time. It's still the same today when sin and evil has reached its highest level and all things are looking so dark in spiritual sense. God is working so that the flame of the Holy Spirit can burn and shine brightly with the power through the whole world. People who read the Bible in this way have a relatively good conscience and moral. Those who carry a Bible only to attend the worship services cannot be called believers or saints. Are there any elders or senior deaconesses like that? Those who are called just attendees at the church, they are indifferent to and uninterested in God's word. In the Psalms, God commands us to meditate on His word and day and night, and whenever we have a time, He commands us to teach and preach this word to our children. But those who do not read the Bible and stay away from the God's word will say, "My business is not going well," or "I'm not blessed even though I work hard." It's the same for every individual. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you but such is as common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation will provide the way of the escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." Since God knows each one's measure of faith, He allows only the temptation common to man. If a temptation comes without any wrongdoing or sin, it's from God. In such cases, He will surely provide a place of a refuge. If you pass the test, you will be blessed. The bigger the test, the greater the blessing. However, failing to overcome these obstacles means remaining stagnant without growing in faith. We must walk the path of faith and grow in faith. When God gives you a test, you pass it, and your soul becomes better, and you continue to enter the Spirit. Those who fail such a test don't pray because they don't. Those who pray the fervently without ceasing will pass any test. Faith never changes because faith doesn't change. It's likened to gold, Gold doesn't change. Pure gold remains the same even after tens of thousands of years. So God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But with a temptation, He will also provide a way of the escape so that you can endure it. Now, the test of sacrificing the Isaac came to Abraham. So he was about to have to kill his only son, Isaac. He was about to stab him, cut him into pieces and offer him as a burnt offering. God waited until that very moment. He was observing his faith until that very moment. So did God do that? Did he not know that Abraham would obey? He knew everything, but why did he see through the end? All of this to prove a perfect faith even to Satan, for Satan might accuse Abraham, saying, you should have been sent to eat that. He would kill his son. He could have changed it in the middle of the steps. So how could he be to the father of a faith? So just as Abraham was about to step his son, God told him to stop. He provided a way out. God knows the level of each person's faith. So he allows the trials that are beyond what each person can handle. There's nothing to worry about when it comes to the trials God gives you. I should explain about trials before you enter the spirit or whole spirit. There's a trial God gives you. Usually the step between the going to spirit and going to the whole spirit, your spirit, so you don't sin, but trials come. They are permitted by God. Only by passing them are you qualified to go to the Spirit. These trials are given by God. You must first pass them. But these people of a spirit, these people of the whole spirits have a faith. So there's no reason why they cannot pass. Only by passing this test can one be recognized by God as a person of the spirit or a person of the whole spirit. Once you have gone through this process of being recognized and become truly wholehearted, from that point on, God will personally govern you. God personally and delicately intervenes. Even if you are a person of the whole spirit, it's different whether you have achieved 1% or 5%, or it's been different for those who have achieved 50%. But once you enter the whole spirit, God personally takes care of you. It's such a happy thing. He will stay with you from 1 to 10 steps. It's a wonderful thing that Creator God directly governs you, His creatures. We too must live a life like He walked with Enoch. The reason God walks with and personally governs the people of the Holy Spirit is because they are people who resemble God. Enoch pleased God with his faith. God loves him so much and was so pleased with him. That's why he wanted to keep him by his side. So he quickly took him away. Leaving behind the precedent for future generations to see how much Enoch received God's love by recording his ascension. If you receive the gods as his recognized child, God will bless you in this way. He will take you to the Father's kingdom, not this earth, and let you live happily by the Father's side forever. This is what it means. The people of the Holy Spirit are God's people who resemble God, so they are trained to be vessels that God can use. Everyone has a different personality. Some people have a passion, while others have a gentleness. Each person is different. Deacon Phillips is gentle, but Deacon Stephen is full of a passion. Like the Apostle Paul, he is passionate. That's why he shouted and pointed out the sin passionately. But Deacon Philip cannot do that because he's gentle. Therefore, even though they are people of the Holy Spirit, God gives them missions that are appropriate for them because the goodness and the love they possess are all different. That is why the missions of Peter, John, and Paul were slightly different to make it for God's kingdom. Enoch was a man who had no evil in his heart, but was perfect in goodness, gentleness, humility, love, and virtue. Such people are not capable of great accomplishments, although it was not the time to accomplish God's work. Enoch became a source of comfort and joy to God. The prophets in the Bible, they all have different personalities. Some boldly proclaimed like John the Baptist, only to be captured and murdered, while others avoided and do it wisely to accomplish the Father's work. All of them different. So Father God, according to use them, according their talents and personality. But what if you lack knowledge, have no talent for writing, and can't speak other languages, no matter how far you enter into the Holy Spirit? God has to use you in area other than those, so the Father personality refines you into something suitable for His use. The trials God gives us are not difficult ones. They don't bring disasters, illness, or trials, or hardships. If we have a faith, we can overcome them, triumph over them, and even find the blessing and the glory in them. That's why He allows the trials we can endure. In other words, He doesn't require an elementary school to solve a college-level math problem. He gives a problem at level that can be solved by anyone who has finished that course level of a study. It's obvious in a math example that a student should retake that course if he cannot pass the test at the level. The same applies to the training of a faith. God gives a proper test according to different level of faith and then increase the measure of faith. In the same things with the blessing, to receive the even more blessings, trials first come. When you are tested to see if you are walking the right path from the selfishness and the greed, if you are not grateful, you will fail the test. However, if you pass the test, a greater blessing will follow. Therefore, if you read the Bible, understand the heart of the will of God the Father, and rely on yourself with it, you will find the sure path. God gives each person to test that is appropriate for their level of faith, and if they pass, they live up to the higher level. God allows a trial of a faith not to throw us down, but to elevate us to a higher level and to bestow blessings. Therefore, when a trial of a faith comes, please do not be confused or surprised, but overcome it with a joy and a gratitude. Now, let me explain what kind of a punishment Eve received for since the comet. First off, God said to women in Genesis chapter 3:16, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. childbirth. In pain, you will bring first children. Here, pain in childbirth refers to the pain and the suffering a woman experiences from the time she conceives a baby until she gives birth. Now, God said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. As a child is conceived and grows in the mother's womb, the mother experiences physical pain. She experiences the morning sickness and the pelvis once closed to protect the child, now opens wide as she tried to give birth, causing the muscles to expand. Imagine the agony. This pain is comparable to the torture of long ago when both legs were twisted with a stick. After during this torture, the person tortured the limbs and suffered a fracture of the leg bones. This is kind of a pain mothers must experience. It tells us that Eve conceived and gave birth to the baby in the Garden of Eden and that she suffered each time, just as God told them to be fruitful and multiply. Adam and Eve gave birth to many descendants for ages. But at the time, Eve was a living spiritual being, but she had a pain in childbirth. Of course, it was a very faint. By the way, there was a spiritual reason why God made the living beings feel the pain in childbirth. Until the human cultivation to get true children is over, God the Father feels much pain. Even living beings are made to experience the pain of a conception, however slight, so that they may realize that children are not something that is given for free. Giving birth to and raising a child is an enormous undertaking. During the 10 months of a pregnancy, mothers must be selective about what they eat, and the birth itself is a painful experience. While it's idle for a child to grow up well, how heartbreaking would it be for parents if that child disobeyed their parents and grew up on their own terms? You students don't do this. Do you? And even though they work so hard to raise their children, they don't fully understand their parents' hurt. Some students even don't understand their parents' hurt. Likewise, Father God, while cultivating us humans, had to endure much pain before obtaining the true children. Therefore, whenever He gains a spiritual child, He loves and rejoices with them. Needless to say, He is overjoyed with the people of the Holy Spirit. This pain has been multiplied and since the time of conception. As God said, in pain you will give birth to children. There was more pain to women during pregnancy and the childbirth. But if you go to the spread and give birth, you wouldn't feel much pain. You would give birth without feeling much pain. It would be too easy. Why? Because you enter the spirit. That's why our church members give birth so lightly. Typically, mothers experience a pain for hours, sometimes requiring surgery. However, our members are rarely undergo surgery. This is because they prepare with a faith and a prayer, achieving a safe delivery. Furthermore, if the mother is a spiritual being, she doesn't experience a significant pain. But Also, it means that their work and their responsibility increased in raising their children. Mothers in the Garden of Eden don't need to work hard to raise the children, and yet children grew up well. It's because there's no harm such as a disease. All children are born healthy and they grew up well to look the most beautiful. However, the situation is changed. Adam and Eve became the man of a flesh and the land they live on was also cursed. Adam and Eve couldn't get anything if they didn't work hard for it. They came to neatly feel how much effort and the hardship they had to put in to have a children. They were finally able to feel a little bit of God the Father's heart. In raising children, the effort that people make cannot be compared to the effort that God makes. People just make effort and toil for 2 to 30 years until their children fully grow up. Of course, they care for their children for their entire lives. Since the beginning of a human cultivation, God the Father has worked very hard to get His true children. God says in Isaiah chapter 49, 15, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even this may forget, but I will not forget you." How could a woman forget her nursing child? These days, sin is so prevalent that some moms forget. Some raise their children and then abandon them, so send them to the orphanages or to foreign countries. Even though they clearly have children, they leave their children in orphanage and then get married again. These are truly unacceptable. They don't even raise the children they gave birth to and abandon, no matter how difficult it is. Parents have to raise the children, but if there are mothers and fathers who leave their children in orphanages, then this is a completely betrayal of their children, and it's impossible. And on top of that, they get married and take another partner? How can they call those parents? As Isaiah chapter 49:15 says, "God never forgets us. We humans may betray God, but God never betrays. He never breaks promises, never fails to keep them. And if you trust and believe in God 100%, everything goes according to the God's saying." If this is our Father and the Lord is our Savior, what have we to fear or worry about? We just need to walk according to His word, pray, and meditate on His words day and night. Is it a hard task to you? God the Father is looking at souls with a much more earnest love than that of the parents who care for their children. He wants all the people to reach salvation. The forefathers of faith felt and understood this deep heart of God the Father, and they threw themselves into leading sinners to salvation and to make them children of God. In point, Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, 19, "My children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in." God the Father has gone through the enough pain in childbirth. So why are you making him feel that pain again? Sometimes in Bible, they are called the children instead of a beloved children. That is, they are children who do not behave in a way that deserves the love. So they are simply called the children. In 1 John, it says, My beloved children, if you have nothing to condemn in your heart, ask God for anything. Those who are called my beloved children are sanctified without any condemnation and free from evil. They are people of the spirits who live according to the word of God. So they are beloved children to God the Father. They can ask God whatever they wish. Then God will give it to them. It is God who gives everything. We serve such a good father, elders, and the church members. As beloved children of God, you must succeed in business and become leaders. To achieve this, you must break your own thought and frames and become leaders who respect and listen to the opinions of your employees. That's why to the broaden your vessels of a heart. The experiences and the learning of a subordinates should not be trivialized or ignored. That is the petty attitude. You should embrace their opinions. You need to listen to your employees or lower position. People on lower position. And he also said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 29, Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? And by this he showed his burning love for souls. This is the heart of our Lord God Almighty. You should feel this deeply, but why can't you? Those who have entered the Spirit or Holy Spirit deeply feel this heart of God the Father. That's why they can not sin or do evil. That's why the Bible expresses our Father God's earnest love for souls in this way. It's never an easy job to lead a sinner to be reborn as a child of God and become a true children. It requires a great deal of effort and toil from God the Father, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit. Our Lord Jesus, who is the Son of God, gave up His life for sinners. The Holy Spirit Himself intercedes for souls with groanings too deep for words, and He helps their weakness. The servant of God and the workers of this church toil and work hard for souls who are entrusted to their charge. Pastors, how much have you mourned, fasted, and prayed when one of your servants left the church? Taking care of the soul is quite difficult, but you fail to protect them and let Satan deceive them. Servant of God must live with such a suffering feeling, heartbroken. So if you quickly receive the power and authority, it will be less tiring. It will be easier to protect the flock. Among the insect regarded insignificant by people, there is a spider which gives up its body for its child. It is the spider called the Clubina spider. When it is time to lay eggs, the female Clubina spider rolls a small leaf and lays her eggs inside. It is to build a closed place and protect its babies from danger. Since the mother spider is also locked inside the leaf, however, it cannot get food for her offspring. Then the mother spider feeds her own body to her young. Eventually, the babies survive after eating the body of their mother. We gain the eternal life by eating the flesh of the Lord and by drinking the blood of the Lord. Since we received such a great love, we should work harder for the salvation and the nurturing of our souls. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, 16, God said to women, "Yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." First, God said that your desire will be for your husband, and it means for her love for husband and Adam changed in the fleshly way. How could it be punishment then? Actually, the punishment at this kind of is so huge. If you have suffered intensely as a result of the fleshly love, you can understand what it means. Fleshly love exactly brings so pain and heartbreaking. Even your partner saying he loves you so much or she loves you so much, when their heart changes, you feel immense pain and you feel so heartbroken. Let me try to illustrate this for better understanding. Let's say a man and a woman love each other and they get married. When they were deeply in love, they didn't see the faults of the other. Instead, all things looked good. However, this is a flesh of love changes. After the marriage, as the time passes, they begin to see one another's shortcomings. Instead of seeking for the benefit of the spouse, they want the other to work to satisfy their hearts. Each has this same manner of thinking. They don't realize that they have changed, but instead they still think that the other has changed. They conflict while sharing ideas. They even hurt each other's hearts. They feel uneasy and saddened. They become irritated with each other, and they may even burst into a fit of anger. As Adam and Eve became the man of flesh, their love also changed in fleshly way. Already during the incident of the tree of God, good and evil, Adam tried to shift the responsibility to Eve. If Adam's love towards Eve was true, he would have covered Eve's transgressions and her weakness. But he rather hid his fault and blame on his wife Eve. If Eve had possessed the unwavering love of the Spirit, she would have reflected, "I've brought the trouble upon my husband." From Eve's perspective, her responsibility is clear because she encouraged eating the fruit, but she also blamed to the snake. However, as if she were the victims, she made an excuse that the serpent tempted her. This was what Adam and Eve did right after they committed sin. So how much faster would their love have deteriorated on earth? Instead of the honoring and the serving one another, they looked for their own benefit and they wanted to be served. For this, God established a strict order between Adam and Eve. That's God said to Eve, "He, her husband, will rule over you." You husbands, are you excited with it? Of course, the order was once that Adam was the primary and Eve was the helper and the mate. However, the concept of this order changed. A fleshly order that a stronger husband can rule over a weak wife by force was established. This created a hierarchical order in married relationship in the world. A wife is sometimes treated like her husband's property. Some husbands pride themselves on having strong control over their wives. So if his wife doesn't listen to him, he tries to make her submit to his will, even by yelling at her loudly. They don't even hesitate to use violence. Is here any family that is exactly like this because the husband doesn't believe in God? If a wife can love the husband in the spiritual way, the husband can change thanks to the power of her love. If they are in fleshly love, however, their wives' behavior and the mind change according to their husbands. Therefore, we must understand how many couples in the world live in pain because they do not know the truth. Regarding this, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 28, "But if a man marries, it is not sin, and if a virgin marries, it's not sin. A married woman who is not a virgin, having her own family, should not marry again." The Apostle Paul was the one who heard the Holy Spirit's voice more clearly than anyone else. "I care about you, so why do you choose to marry and suffer the physical hardships so life?" That's why the Bible repeatedly emphasized that it's more blessed to remain unmarried, saying, "I wish everyone were like me." The Apostle Paul never married. Why? Because he knew this is spiritual and was blown away. Just seeing paradise in heaven. Wow, what a beautiful world it is. Why should I suffer under this earth when I can live happily forever after? He thought the Bible repeatedly recorded this, "Remind young people, I wish all people were like me." It explains that it's more blessed not to marry. For those who are already married, the couple just have to go to the spirit world together. If a couple go to the spirit, they can also enter the New Jerusalem. It's not easy, though. The process is so complex and difficult. They can help each other along the way, but it's by no means easy. How happy would a family be if a spiritual couple seek and serve each other's interests? I pray in the name of the Lord that all families, our members, may be restored to such a beauty and happiness.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces, and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer, and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.